Second reading today is Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that gives gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given he will pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall be satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I'm not sure that you could read Proverbs 19 in the public square today and escape the charge of speaking harshly or mean-spiritedly or even hatefully. And yet, this is the very Word of God. Will we, according to our prior reading, receive it as such? Sometimes the Word of God grates upon our sensibilities, and we desire to soften that which is said. Let us be very careful there. Let us take great care to hear God speaking. All right, so notice in verse 1 that poverty is no shame, if it be had in integrity. Guess what? Riches is no shame either, if it be had in integrity. Okay? There is a strain of pietistic Christianity that teaches that if you're rich, that's a sin. It's not a sin to be rich. It's not a sin to be poor. It doesn't mean that God is blessing you less or more, one way or the other, because why? Blessings are not in things, right? Grace is not in things. It's in how we make use of them for the name of God. We desire God's blessing with the thing that we receive from Him, such that we might make a good and proper use of it, and therefore that thing rises up at the judgment and testifies. I know I'm personifying it. I understand that. And testifies to the desire, the effort, the mental juice we put forth to make a right use of the things that we received. Okay, so notice also that the soul be without knowledge is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Okay, I think that's a synthetic proverb, and I think that hastiness leads to ignorance. That's what's being taught there. Hastiness leads to ignorance. Stop, ponder, meditate, think. That way you will have that knowledge that Solomon speaks about here. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Well, notice, to fret against God's providence is to fret against God Himself, right? And so the foolishness of man perverteth his way. It turns us aside from contentment. And I remember a few years back, an Orthodox Jewish guy, a fairly famous guy, you'd probably recognize his name if I said it. He wrote a book called Happiness is a Choice. Well, there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of Bible in that. Many times we choose to set our affections on things that we can't have. We choose to set our affections on things that will not come to pass. And when we do that, what do? We set ourselves up for discontentment, unhappiness. But if we don't fret against the Lord and His providence, if we receive the good and even the afflictions that He sends with a good heart, we will be happy. We will be content. We will be at peace, and so on. All right, so wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. There are folks that read that and they say, so you need to have wealth. This is a rebuke, my friends. It's a rebuke. Wealth maketh many friends, and the poor is separated from his neighbor. That's the neighbor's fault. It's not the poor's fault. Let's get it right here, right? So notice that what's going on here is not advertising wealth. You should seek after being wealth, because then you have lots of friends. No, the friends that come because of wealth are insincere friends. This is a rebuke instead. So we want to hear it like that. Truthfulness is enjoined in the next synthetic proverb. A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. Okay, and then notice, many will entreat the favor of the prince. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Again, this is a weakness. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Again, this is a rebuke. We are people given to make friends of those who can do us good, we think. And so the poor guy, the poor man, we don't really spend time with him. We don't spend much time with him. He doesn't have much to offer. This is a rebuke. We ought to hear it as such. Then we have something else on lies and false witnessing that is commensurate to what we heard before. Then we have what we call the rule of propriety, right? Or seemliness, if you will. Propriety or seemliness. It's not seemly for a fool to delight, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. So notice the comparison that's being made there, and think of, you know, we say today, oh, it's good for a servant to have rule over princes because we live in an egalitarian society. But let's put ourselves in Solomon's day. In Solomon's day, for a servant to rule over princes means something is terribly wrong. It's also terribly wrong for a fool to delight. He should not delight. That's not good for him. It's not going to serve him well at the end. His delighting in folly will only be his ruin, in other words. Right? Okay. Page 2. Notice we have the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. And I'm thinking here that we're talking not only about anger, but we're talking about that contemplation and meditation and taking a few moments that we talked about earlier in the last chapter and in this chapter. Defer your anger. Don't let it rise up to the surface like that. Don't be so uncontrolled and led about by your affections. Instead, control them. Exercise some will over them. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor as the dew upon the grass. There's a fifth commandment responsibility that we have toward the king. He is in a position to do evil and to do good. And that is God's doing that he's in that position. And so in every lawful thing where we can agree with the king, let's go ahead and do that. Let's not be contrarian simply because he's in authority. Okay, so then we have a little bit about parenting and being a good parent and being a good son or daughter. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Again, we're talking about fifth commandment stuff there, right? Okay, then slothfulness and diligence. Once again, he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. And so notice that we're talking about being diligent. The commandment to diligence is what is important there. Then notice here Solomon makes explicit what was implicit before. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. This helps to inform what he said earlier, right? The poor doesn't have any friends. Oh, well, wait a minute. The one who does make a friend of the poor is doing what? Well, he's making a friend of God. He's lending to the Lord in his lending to the poor, in his care of the poor, in other words. So yeah, those were rebukes earlier. All right, so then hearing counsel, receiving instruction. Once again, a little bit more contemplation than we're normally geared to provide. Let's move on. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So, very clear there. We've heard that one before. And then, he that wasteth his father and chasteth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. So, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. All right, well, let's pull up here for the sake of time. And once again, we summarize with words as our first one. Right? We're still being counseled how to use words in here in chapter 19. Truthfulness, good counsel, truthful testimony, integrity of speech are all commended. Then we see discipline and its good fruit, not discipline with regard to children, but living lives that are disciplined, not dissolute, but disciplined instead. Third, compassion upon those who have nothing and stand in need of help. Any help that we give to those who are in need will not be lost. It's not in vain, is what this passage tells us over and again. And we hear also those rebukes. Well, the poor doesn't have any friends. Well, that's not the fault of the poor. That's the fault of the friends that aren't there, right? So let's hear those rebukes as well. And I will just pull up for a moment and make a statement here that Solomon is speaking to that nation in which everyone was recognized to be a child of the Lord, of the true God. That when the gospel goes out to all nations, the Apostle Paul will change that a little bit, and he'll say to do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. In Solomon's day, everyone that would have come under this teaching would have been of the household of faith, or would have been considered to be under the household of faith. So let's remember that our first efforts are toward the people of God, okay? All right, fourth, friends are contrasted with true friends who are unaffected by gain or advantage, right? Fifth, the blessing of consideration rather than haste. We saw that, okay? So be a people that stops for a moment, thinks. It's not hasty in action and so on. Diligence is commended and sloth is condemned. We've seen that before. We see it again. And then we have proper parenting here and proper, as we've said before, children, right? Proper parenting and being a good child, obedient. Proper parenting includes the rod, includes discipline, right? Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Wait a minute. Why is this child crying? We know why he's crying. Because he's receiving some corporal punishment on the pad that God gave him for that punishment. We understand that. Solomon's going to make it much more explicit. In fact, in our day, cringeworthy so, right? The bluing of the flesh gives life. Don't tell your doctor that. Okay? Spare not for his crying. Though you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You will beat him with the rod and save his soul from hell. Solomon will go on to say that as well. Okay, well, let's remember, this is the Word of God. And a society that is raising children like ours is, has no business telling you, Christian, how to parent. Let's make it clear. Let's make it explicit. They have no business doing that. Oh, I know, they can bring force and power against you for corporally punishing your child. I understand that. So be wise as serpents and harmless as doves in that. Be careful. But don't turn away from the Scriptures because society says that's cruel. Because actually what society is doing is infinitely more cruel than what you will be doing by not sparing the rod. Okay? Let's have it straight. Let's get it straight from the Bible. All right, thus ends the reading then in Proverbs chapter 19. Let's